Welcome to this episode of SDI Encounters, a podcast from SDI, the home of spiritual companionship. I'm Matt Whitney. On this podcast, we share stories and conversations around spiritual care, companionship, and contemplative practice across a diverse range of traditions and experiences. Spiritual companions support others on their spiritual journeys through life. Spiritual companions are welcoming and present with those they companion, listening and responding without judgment. And spiritual companions are contemplative and honor silence as a spiritual practice. You can learn more about our work at our website, sdiworld.org. If you're enjoying this podcast and you want to help us share and spread the word about the life-giving practice of spiritual companionship, you can help us out by subscribing to this podcast through your favorite app. You could give us a like or even write us a review. Thank you for listening. If you're interested in finding a spiritual companion, please check out our resource on our website, the Seek and Find Guide, a database of over 7,000 spiritual directors, chaplains, and life coaches from around the world who are available to companion with you on your own spiritual journey. The Seek and Find Guide is available on our website, sdiworld.org. These next two podcast episodes that we're releasing revolve around a conversation between SDI staff and two curators of the Emergence Network. You can learn more about their work at emergencenetwork.org. Bio Akomolafe will be familiar to some of you. He was a keynote speaker at our annual conference in March 2019. He also recently facilitated an SDI webinar. He was joined by co-curator Giordi Rosales, our executive director, Reverend Seifu Anil Singh Malaris, and director of events and programs, Frederica Helmier. So this conversation came on the drive home from a retreat that they were having. So there's a little bit of automobile noise in the background, FYI. I also debriefed this conversation with Frederica. And by doing so, I hope that we're able to frame this conversation that they are having. Last week's episode was about grief, learning to accept that things die, not just people, but also systems and institutions and ecologies. Grief is real and we learn to experience it well, but we also, in finding that death is a normal and natural part of everything, learn how to work with it, to be in relationship with it, and to begin to practice hope and resilience.
So when we were in this car talking together, which was just delightful because there's just beautiful souls all confined to a car for a while and talking about important things, I found myself worrying that our conversation was sort of inaccessible and it was a little bit esoteric and excessively philosophical, even though that's not the intention at all. Mm-hmm. But I kept asking myself, what the question you just asked, what does this mean for spiritual companions, right? It's one thing if you're in academia and you're trying to wrap your head around these ideas so that you can generate some new idea and publish a paper about it. It's something very different if you're sitting across from another human being and you're trying to accompany them through their grief that they may have around the climate. So I wanted to invite Bio and Giordi specifically to tell me what the ways in which they find themselves accompanying others who are experiencing very real grief. And it's not grief that, you know, the ballot measure didn't pass that would have taxed carbon in our municipality or something like that. It's this existential anxiety that we are powerless to do anything about this force that is so much bigger than us and is at work and has been for a while and will be for a long time, and that our children are going to experience a world that is probably very, very different than the one that we have experienced. This is what bioengineering are getting into with Saudade, this kind of deep, deep nostalgia for something that once was and is no more and won't be anymore. So what do you do with that? So I wanted to get practical. I wanted to invite them to really, for a moment, accompany me and help me think about what do I do with this grief that's not tied to a really specific sense of hopelessness around legislative action, but that is tied to sort of this existential despair that's very deeply connected to Saudade, to a nostalgia and a real wanting to sort of cling to the way I think things are supposed to be.
Yeah.
And want to continue. Hmm. All right, I'm gonna invite us to breathe, and then I'm gonna invite us to do something a little wacky. I think we should bring it down to earth, as bio suggests. I think a lot of folks who enjoy this podcast appreciate examples of how rich kind of theory that can sometimes be somewhat esoteric can be translated into the act of spiritual companioning. And over these last couple of days, I have felt companioned by the three of you in different ways. I have felt journeyed alongside. I have felt as though in different ways at times you set up a mirror for me to notice things about myself. And this content is pretty new for me. I'm tracking for the most part, but these are new ideas because I have been situated in a different type of discourse with different assumptions and different norms and a different language. So a lot of this is new, and I am still sitting here with my grief over a sense of loss, a sense that something that I have experienced in the past is no longer. A sense of despair that my children will not experience the earth in the ways that I have, that I've enjoyed. That some communities that are dear to me, who we might call frontline communities or marginalized communities, are suffering tremendously because of what's going on. Can the three of you attempt to do a little bit of companioning for me in this moment, coming out of this rich knowledge and theories that you've laid out?
I have something that comes to mind for me, which is change. We spoke about change at several junctures in the last couple of days, and change is something that most of us fear because it's unpredictable and leads to unpredictable outcomes and uncertain situations. And we spoke a little bit about kind of grounding ourselves in the ungroundable, if you will, positioning ourselves to find paradoxically stability in the unstable. And I think that speaks to kind of the essence of a lot of the framings that Bio and Jordi have been speaking about, which is there's a tremendous opportunity in that ungrounding, in that unboundedness. And that opportunity can translate into hope for some outcomes that, while we can't predict them, can have at least the potential to move our common story, human story, forward in a way that invites originality.
Support for this podcast comes from Spiritual Companionship for Our Times, SDI's annual gathering of spiritual companions happening in Santa Fe, New Mexico, April 23rd through 26th, 2020. Registrations are now open with super early bird pricing available through September 15th. We'll be celebrating SDI's 30th anniversary and charting the road ahead as we seek to welcome more and more people to the transformational gifts of spiritual companionship and to make this healing modality available to every person on the planet. Learn more now about our annual conference at www.sdievents.org. And now here's part two of our conversation.
Yeah. Well, I would just begin by saying, Federica, that I'm with you in what it is to give up the security of knowing what to do at this time. And I have so much compassion for those who just need a task, who just want some form of structure or direction to be like, hey, this is okay, this is what's happening in the world, this is what you gotta do. You just you just do A, B, and C and everything, you know, it might not be okay, but at least you can feel good about yourself that you at least tried the right things. Like, you know, you brought your own bags to the grocery store and you did everything you could. And what it is actually to let go of knowing quite how to respond. And what I would first welcome is just the grief of that, which in its own sense, to grieve, it is a revolutionary act alone. To actually do that in a world where we're told to always be productive, to always continue the growth, and you know, you put your head down and you work through it. So to let ourselves to be ruptured, to feel, I think that's the essential. That is the essential work. And Bio and I, we don't have. We're not here to necessarily offer how you're supposed to be in all of this, or some way out. It actually is a leaning into, the pain of the earth, the pain of losing what we once thought we had, whether we had it or not. Just as I spoke to earlier, that the idea of home and what that meant, and our longing to give our children what we had. What is success if? You know, there's not going to be the same systems of validation telling us that we succeeded. It challenges everything that we know about what's worthwhile, our careers, fame. You know, what does it mean to be famous in a future where there's no one to applaud you? What will matter and what won't matter? Really in the coming years. So I would say, yeah, let that work on you, and to let grief be a communal practice, not something that we have to do alone, but to welcome into our families, into our communities. And for me, it's a lot about, like, you know, hope isn't optimism. It's not saying, oh, well, if we just do the right things and try extra hard, that it's all gonna maybe be okay. It's, I think hope is, the one that we're speaking about is not actually antithetical to dying. I think there are ways of being hopeless and hopeful at the same time, as strange as that sounds. But it comes from a place of letting die. What kinds of imagination become possible when we can conceive of our own death, or conceive of the world going through mass extinction? Once we've done that work and are no longer just fighting to keep things the same as they are, how might then we be able to work together? How might then we be able to communicate differently? So that it's not always just in opposition to mortality, but accounts for cycle. So I know you want, I mean, most people would want, yeah, a clear directive. And I'm afraid we don't have that. But it's more of an invitation into breaking open and finding what's there in the midst of that. You want to add something, Bio?
So how I feel called to be in service to that invitation to your words is not with words. I feel there's a form of language that stretches beyond language, that stretches beyond eloquence and articulation. And so this isn't talk therapy. This isn't something that I'll be fixed with, even making sense or, I figured it out. I think there is a meeting, there's a way of meeting that is not going to be, that is in silence. And I could say that the way that I've, because I usually hold spaces and circles and conversations that, where there's a lot of falling apart and there's a lot of not knowing what to do after you fall apart. And in those moments, I felt inspired to invite a feet washing ceremony where we take turns in washing each other's feet in silence. And as we wash each other's feet, as our cells die away in the water, we ceremoniously pour out the water to recognize that we are accepting of our demise. We're accepting of the confusion. And maybe some other things that I don't know even how to put into words at this moment. It's not a comforting, it's not just to comfort the person, it's to assure, it's to invite the person into a different space. The kind of hope that is always, like Jordi said, that is always struck through with hopelessness. The kind of joy that always acknowledges it needs grief to be joyful. Maybe there is space for that, but definitely not through a podcast. But how I felt called to respond was to wash your feet.
Can we pause for a second, Federica? So
yeah.
She's guiding me on to 164. I'm just going to follow her unless you say something.
Yeah, she wants you to go on I-90 very briefly and then go down Rainier Ave, and that's perfectly fine. You can also just stay on I-5, and we're going to take like one or two exits further. I would go straight. So stay straight on I-5 south.
Stay on I-5.
Yeah, we're going to take the South Columbian Way exit.
Okay.
This is when I pause and talk to Matt and say, "Hey, Matt, can you edit out that last section where we where we talked about the directions?" just so you all know, we've been going for 45 minutes, so this is good. This is good, robust stuff. We can keep it going. We can wrap it up, whatever.
Another question.
A question that comes to mind. I think
I
as much
add
as
something to that.
Yeah, add whatever you feel, and as much as we can keep this something that folks who are practicing spiritual companionship can chew on. It's quite helpful, I think. Go ahead.
To go off of this paradox of hope and hopelessness, marrying one another. And being of the same blood, I think really in that it's an invitation to dwell with paradox, to dwell with the absurdity of the Anthropocene, of this time of great change and of demise, that really we're being asked to stretch ourselves between the possible and the impossible, between the things that seemingly are contradictory and incompatible, but how to actually make room for them both in ourselves. And I, no one else, in my opinion, does that better than the clown or the digester of suffering. In these times, I actually move a lot to humor, to satire, to these points of what doesn't compute, to what, how do we meet a time that doesn't make sense? Where actually our structures of control are being ruptured. And so, yeah, I think just an invitation of being with paradox in ways that feel playful. Bio said earlier today, what was it? Things are serious. Let's play. To somehow, if it's possible, make space for the things that maybe don't make sense, and to trust your intuition on how to move. I think a lot of this is embedded in our hearts. I think we've been here before. This isn't the first apocalypse. This isn't going to be the last. So to find ways of trusting ourselves, trusting when it's time to play, when it's time to cry. Sometimes that's the same moment. To lean into the support systems that are here for us, and that maybe feel really strange and uncalled for, just to allow those to move through you, and to allow for other knowledges to really find center. That's what I would say.
Other assemblages.
Let me add something to that. That I like to speak of the Teslarization of space. You know how Tesla was like, electricity is not this impoverished thing. It's everywhere. Every morsel of air, of space, is filled with energy. And they walked out because they couldn't fund it. They said, 9! They walked out because they couldn't fund, they couldn't put that into monetary terms.
Yep.
This is also one of the myths of modernity, is that time is empty and that time is linear, it's unilinear, and that every moment follows another. We have one moment, one discrete moment following another discrete moment, and the past is done with, and the future is yet to come. And that's why, as a collective body of stressed human beings, we're pursuing another deadline to reduce carbon emissions before 2030. But as Jordi signaled, 2030 has happened already. It happened in 1947. It happened in 1945. It happened in the 16th century. It happened and it's happening all over again. This is not the past done with. Time is much more circular than we think. It's not as anorexic as we're led to believe. And this tells me that time is fat. It's robust. It's full and abundant. And there's a lot we can pay attention to. Instead of sticking our eyes to the front of the road on the highway, we can fall by the wayside and dwell with a curb and dwell with the shrubbery and bush. There are other ways, there are other directions other than the tarmac, and it's unilinearity towards a place of single power. So maybe this is an invitation for people to question their, to notice the world differently, to ask and encourage absurdities, and like Jordi said about the clown, and maybe would happen upon new temporalities just by learning to look differently. Yeah.
So for for the reasonable price of $19.99, Bio will sell you the right pill that will just make everything
I take offense with that, actually.
Perfectly okay.
I take offense with that. $200 is
$200.
Yeah, $200.
And an extra $50 for the absurdity goggles, which will help you see beauty and otherness.
Yes.
So I hope within all of those words that, you know, something resonates, and it doesn't have to make sense. But as I said before, just to trust when something's showing up for you to bring you the next step and to let that work on you.
We're going to be engaging more with the folks of the Emergence Network, the Borderlands Project, in the coming months and years. And those of you who are joining us in Santa Fe next April can attend Bio's workshop. And we still got space if you haven't signed up yet.
I'm feeling very stretched listening to you, and I think that's a good thing. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. I hope that this stretches folks in a way that is not destructive, in a way that's that's an opening.
No, not at all. I think it's a generative act that you are offering, that Bio and Jordy are offering, that we're exploring in this partnership between SDI and the Emergence Network, is how to spiritually companion in these times.
Mm-hmm.
And how do we really, when we talk about deep listening, which is the core of what a spiritual companion is somebody who listens, then how do we let go of control and truly listen without our own voice getting in the way, without our own ego getting in the way, without our own sense of how things should be getting in the way? And so this conversation that we're having deeply resonates, I think, for those reasons. And I hope it's meaningful, and the word I use is generative for spiritual companions and their work. This is Matt Whitney with Spiritual Directors International. Thanks again for listening. Your time and your presence here are deeply appreciated. If you liked this show and would like us to continue making them, please do subscribe now while it's fresh on your mind. Also, we would love to hear from you, so please feel free to send in your comments and suggestions to the email address podcast@sdiworld.org. To learn more about spiritual companionship and ways that you can plug in and join our community, visit us at our website at www.sdiworld.org. Thank you. Blessings and peace on your day, and may you share blessings and peace to others.